Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for Holy Trinity Sunday comes from our Old Testament reading. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be." Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Thus far the text. God creates. He creates it all, everything that ever was, everything that ever will be. He creates the light, the sun, and the moon. He creates the earth and the seas. He places markers to guard time. He sets boundaries where waters cannot enter, where darkness cannot go, where species are separated. Leafy things and plants bearing fruit with seed of its own kind. All the fish of the deep, all the birds that fly in the heavens above, every creeping thing that creeps on the ground, and everything in between. It is all good. It's, as the Hebrew says, tov. It's good not in the sense of just okay, but in the contrast of evil. But it's not finished. God's image, his imprint, is not yet on creation. The pinnacle has not yet been created. And the very thing that is to bear the image of God, that is to know God fully and truly and rightly in every way, has not yet been created. So God gets together in his heavenly council and has a holy conversation with himself. The Father is there, so too the Spirit that was hovering over the face of the waters, and the Son as well. The Son, who spoke all things into creation. The Son, who said, "Let there be." Who said, "And there was." Who opened his mouth and made good. All three persons of the Godhead there together to talk about capping off creation by making man. Let us make him in our own image, after our likeness. And so God does. Male and female, he creates them. Male and female, he makes them so that they can come together and have dominion over all creation, so that they can be fruitful and multiply, so that they can bring the image of God upon creation, because the image of God is imprinted on them. Like a ball of clay that has a fist pressed into it, mankind, before sin, bears the image of God. But notice something here. Mankind is not made of the image of God, but in the image of God. He bears the image, but is his own substance. Just like that ball of clay is clay and not the fist, but instead bears the image of the fist that's been pressed into it. That's mankind. And there he is, Adam and Eve, male and female, bearing the image of God. There they are, the only ones to have ever have the perfect image, the perfect knowledge of God. After the likeness that is holy, holy and perfect and good, they are created, they are made. And it's only at this point, after mankind is created and God's image is stamped upon them, that God can look upon his creation and say, "It is very good. It is goodly good. It's perfectly perfect. It's how it should be. It's how it should always be." Creation is now very good because creation now bears the image of God through mankind. And we've lost that image. Mankind in general. Chalk that up to Adam and Eve, the serpent, that whole sin thing. And because mankind has lost that image, so too has creation. And it doesn't take us very much to have to look around this world and realize that that very thing is true. Wars and hatred abound. Tropical storms make their ways up to cities that are already ravaged in an already ravaged country. Unseen viruses bring death. Unseen viruses bring fear. Unseen viruses shove civilization into a pressure cooker, sitting on a flame that's far too hot to handle. The image of God is lost. The pinnacle of creation is divided. Man against man against woman, white against black, father against son, Democrat against Republican, race against race, country against country, family against family, family against itself. It's an ugly thing out there, to be sure. And if you would care to allow me just a little bit of leeway, I would like to say just a couple words on what's been happening over the last couple of weeks, because none of us thought that COVID-19 would ever be bumped off the screens in our televisions or bumped off the screens in our minds. But lo and behold, it has. Something worse has seemed to rear its ugly head. And I say worse because that which is raging in our streets and in our cities is no longer a fight of humanity against the virus, but it's humanity against humanity. Say what you will about who's right and who's wrong. In fact, for just a moment, let's set aside all those absolutes that we're all so absolutely sure that we have, because I'm not certain that any of us have a perfectly clear understanding of the situation. The fact of the matter is there are people who are hurting. They're hurting and they're lashing out. They're scared and they're angry. And maybe just a little bit tired of what they would consider turning the other cheek. And yeah, we could argue about who's right and who's wrong. We could have an academic conversation about who holds the moral high ground in all of this, but that really isn't going to do us any good. Certainly not in the short term, and depending on how that conversation actually goes, probably not in the long term either. The ugly truth about this ugly situation that's welling up to very ugly realities in our country is that, unfortunately, and this is how it always goes throughout all of history, when we have an opponent, a real opponent that we disagree with, we forget who they are, who they essentially really are, who they are in the eyes of God, the God who desires nothing than for his image to once again be restored to creation. We always seem to get to a point, societies, civilizations in general, us in particular, always seem to get to a place where we no longer view the other, whoever that other is, with humanity. White and black and every color in between, and now evidently blue is a color too. We all seem to have divided ourselves or have been divided up into camps, and the humanity of it all is lost. The humanity of our opponents is no longer paramount. We don't seem to care about that anymore, or at least it's not all that important. They, whomever they might be, are now placed into groups that we can just attack with labels of other or them or liberal or conservative or whatever. The danger of this, the ugly and ultimate real danger of this, is that we fail, and I have to place myself to be held accountable for my actions and my words and my thoughts too. We fail to care that our opponents, they're just like us. They're part of this human race that God made in his own image. And maybe, more importantly, they're people whom Christ died for too. Christ was crucified for them, for the other guy, for the protester and the rioter, and for the person sitting home watching all of it and just shaking his head in disgust, for the man whose life is ended in the street, For the man whose knee none of us will ever forget. For the mother who's scared for her son. And for the mother who has no idea what that type of fear really is. Christ died for them. For the other ones. And yet somehow this is our sinful flesh. This is what we naturally do. We've divided ourselves into camps. And while not actually saying it, because goodness, we wouldn't actually say it, but our actions and our thoughts have all committed it, believe that Christ, or at least show in the things that we do, that Christ has just died for us. But if you want to know what it means to have lost the image of God, don't go looking out into the world for those sinners out there to prove it. Just look inside yourself for that sinner. That sinner will prove it. I know it's exhausting. Life has become a daily gut punch in which we can barely catch our breath enough to lay down our heads at night in the hopes that we don't get slapped around again the next morning. And then you come to church and you get gut punched again and say to yourselves, I've had enough, Pastor. Do I have to hear it in the sermon too? And maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong too, though. For isn't that what the law of God is supposed to do? Take away our breath with the absolute clarity of our sinful nature. Lord Jesus, come soon. I've oftentimes said those words, but there's always been a part of me, a pretty big part of me, that doesn't believe it and doesn't want it to actually happen, because overall life has been pretty good for me. But I admit, over the last couple of months, my heart's come ever closer to being in line with those very words, and maybe you've gotten there too. What humanity needs, what humanity has always needed, is the restoration of God's image. And what I mean by that is the knowledge of God. But not just some God out there who doesn't care if his creation goes to hell in a handbasket. But God who cares and loves and does something. A God who wants to be known, and a God who actually can be known. We just said the words of the Athanasian Creed. There's not a better set of human words to describe who God is. And perhaps you notice that it was divided up into two sections. The first describes the Trinity. Three persons, one God, perfect in unity, together one in substance. But try as we might, it's still really confusing and still doesn't really make much sense, even as we're saying those words. Even us Christians who have been baptized and have the image of God slightly restored to us in our baptisms, even this Trinity stuff is tough to make sense of in our mind. So that's why we have that second part of the creed. That's why we have all that stuff about Jesus. For fallen humanity ever wants to be restored once again, so that on the last day we can have the full image of God imprinted on us, just like Adam and Eve before the fall, we must first be restored through that Jesus fellow, the Son begotten of the Father person, the one who became man, became one of us. For in him is the fullness of God. In Jesus, in that second Adam, is the only man who now bears fully the image of God. And it's funny. Not funny like a joke, but funny sad that fallen humanity's natural inclination is always to be restored through the first Adam, through the workings of fallen humanity. If we can just get it right this time, just say the right words in the right conversation, just make sure that all the right people come out on top and all the wrong people are put in their place, just work it out with the right marches or the right speeches or condemning the right people at the right time, and being numbered with the right camp, if we can just do all of that, then we can fix it. How delusional can we be? That's never worked in all human history. Why are we so foolish as to believe it's going to work now? Instead, we must look to Jesus. If we want to know God, then we must look at Him. And not just to know God in the textbook sense, but to know God for us, we have to look to Jesus. For it is Jesus who bears the image of God, and yet somehow too bore the fullness of our sinfulness upon the cross. It's Jesus who bore all of that sin, all of that hatred, all of that fear, all of that racism, all of that fallenness upon Himself and nailed it to the cross. And it's Jesus who shares with us Himself, gives Himself to us, kills us into His cross, raises us up in His resurrection that left the sinfulness of all of our humanity buried deep in the ground. It's Jesus who forgives us of our sins so that we might see the image of God, so that we might have the image of God imprinted upon us, so that we might see the humanity in the people that we sin against, whom Jesus died for, whom Jesus desires to be restored just like us. Fallen humanity needs nothing more than to be restored in the image of God through the death and resurrection of God in the flesh. And we pray for that restoration. We pray, Jesus, come soon and bring the fullness of that image to once again be imprinted on us. But while we wait in this veil of tears, of fallenness, we pray that Christ might forgive us all our sins. Forgive us of seeing others as less than human. Forgive us of our fallen nature. And daily restore in us the image of God that's given to us in our baptism. In the drowning of the old Adam daily. In the raising of the new. This is our prayer. And this is what Christ gives to us. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus.